Let them know. Amen's work. Preach it works. I've heard things like, go on. All right. So, I want to give you that encouragement. Thanks again, Adult Choir. Excellent, excellent song. I do want to give you the last couple lines of the drama. Unfortunately, it looked like we had some computer glitch going on. But the doctor and the counselee were talking about their loss, and the doctor was going to cancel all appointments and go see a daughter play in a basketball game. And the counselee says, I hope she wins. And the doctor responds by saying, well, now that my priorities are straight, how can she lose? That's how that ends. So we're going to take a look at a way to kind of rearrange our priorities a little bit this morning, maybe, in our prayer life. And I'm going to ask you to follow along as we share in the scriptures. There's two scriptures, the one you don't need to look up, I can almost guarantee it. Matthew 6, don't bother looking that one up, because we're going to pray together the Lord's Prayer. That's what it is, okay? If you do want to look up ahead of time as we begin today, 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first 8 verses. That'll be the second text that I share in the opening, and that one you might want to follow along. I don't think we have that one memorized quite yet, like we do the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so it's 1 Timothy 2, 1-8, if you want to look that one up. And let's just begin asking God's blessing on our time together. Father, I want to thank you for everything that you are doing right now. Lord, just for, again, the reminders of people turning their hearts over to Jesus Christ through these balloons that are up front here in the sanctuary. Their whole design was to keep in front of us as your people the fact that your family is growing. We rejoice in that today. I ask, Lord, that you would touch each of us as we open up your word and as we interact with your word, that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth as he promised he would. And thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do as we consider your word today about praying them in. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Jesus begins his teaching on this by saying, this then is how you should pray. So let's join our hearts together as we just pray together the Lord's Prayer. And I know you might be used to this in different versions. You might be used to the King James. It might be some New International. We'll get through it just okay. We'll use forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Why don't we use that? All right, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now listen to these instructions on worship, which also include an instruction about prayer. 1 Timothy 2, 1-8. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Now, this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We are poised on the verge of that whole season of giving thanks today. And God's Spirit and many other voices around us are calling us to consider what we should be thankful for in our lives. And so I would like to take just a moment or two at the beginning of this service to offer you the opportunity to just give a brief verbal thanks to God for something that he's done. Maybe it's something even today. Maybe it's something within this last week. And I'm going to ask for three of you to do that at some point. And nope, this is just spontaneous. So if you have something you can give thanks to God for this morning, if you want to, you can stand. If not, you may remain seated. Who can give thanks this morning? A word of thanks for what God has done. Who's going to start? Go ahead. Amen. Okay. Good. Thanks. That's one. Yes, go ahead.
Thanks for our granddaughter, Kessa, who came through and being born
One more. Go ahead. I hear you heard say thank you, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, what's interesting is almost every one of the prayer thanks that were mentioned family in some form or another. And it kind of shows our values and what we value. When we give God thanks, it usually ties to something very close to our hearts. So I want you to watch this morning, kind of to set up where I'm going with this message today, this video clip about what matters in life.
Currency, a means to get the things we want and the things we need. We give hours of our life in exchange for currency. There's a little bit of us in every one of those bills. How do we determine the value of those things? How do we measure the value of not being rained on? How much will we part with for a means of transportation? What will we give up for love? What are we willing to spend for a family? What is the cost of freedom? What is the price of a human life? What about a human soul? What currency could redeem it?
Things we value. The value of human life, the value of a human soul. This is where I'd like to take you today. I'd like to take us together in this message. I would like to make this a kickoff Sunday for our prayer blitz for 2006. And I want to remind you of some things, like, for instance, last Sunday, Pastor Kevin's message from the Word of God about the Holy Spirit being the ultimate missionary. In that message, we were challenged to count on the Holy Spirit to make our witness matter, to make it count, to help us to be more effective in sharing our faith. Next Sunday, he's going to share a message about faith and trust in God, in answering our prayers, and to see what God will do in and around us, and that oftentimes we limit God's effectiveness because we fail to believe him, his word, or his promises, or his power. His message will be entitled, Supersize Your Faith, Why a Little's Not Enough. And I want to challenge you this morning. We have already begun to see God at work before we even thought about any of this. He started before us, which is the way it should be. The balloons remind us that God has begun a work in us. And Pastor Rick mentioned in the first service that we're looking at this as like a mini revival. I mean, let's face it, there's about 20 people that have made decisions in the last 2-3 weeks to come to Christ. That's exciting. That is exciting. This is the point where you can respond. It's exciting. And I believe that this is only the beginning. Let's not settle for a mini revival. Let's go for the full thing. And in thinking about this week, pastoral staff was on retreat, and we were looking and we were revisiting how we want God's family to grow. And one of the ways that has always been there, sometimes in the background, sometimes we tried to bring it forward, but one of the ways we've always been there was that conversion growth is one of the ways that God's family grows. Conversion growth. People coming to Christ. And so we're looking at what has happened, and I'm looking at what we want to do today, and I'm looking at basically 500 people coming in and out of this building on a Sunday morning, rough numbers, okay? And I'm looking at the fact that, okay, so not everybody will participate, so we'll knock that down 80%, so that's 400 people. And I'm looking at the scripture that says that when God's word is planted like seed, 25% will stick. So I'm looking at that, I'm looking at those numbers, and this is a number I came up with, 100. And here's the number. We are praying for 100 conversions in the next couple months here at Trinity. Now, at first thought, we were like, wow. And then we started thinking about what has happened in the last 2 weeks. We're up to 20 already. That's 1/5. That's 20%. We're almost halfway there. And I believe God wants that to continue. And I was always told, don't ask God to bless what you're doing. You go do what God is blessing. And I think he's starting to bless our willingness to share our faith. So, as good of a practice it is to scan the horizon of our past and to look at ways that God has been good to us and faithful to us and see the clear evidences of that in our lives for material and spiritual blessings that he's poured out on us, I want to challenge you this way this morning. I want to challenge you to consider with me What is the most extreme reason for someone giving thanks? What's the most extreme reason for giving thanks in a person's life? What is it that we as faithful followers of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Savior of the world should seek after as the ultimate reason for thanksgiving? I want to ask each of you this morning this personal question. Why not you be that reason for someone else giving thanks? In other words, by your loving action and witness of your faith in Jesus Christ, why not you become the reason someone else can lift their heart and lives before their Creator because you were instrumental in leading someone to know Jesus Christ in a personal saving relationship? Many of us have been touched and inspired by a song called Thank You for Giving to the Lord by Ray Bolts. Are you familiar with that song? You've heard that song? It's been sung here, I know, a couple times, I'm sure, along the way. I've got this CD cover, which includes the lyrics to the song. What I didn't know was the reason this song was written in the first place. Ray Bolts writes, when a friend of mine asked me to write a song for Pastor Appreciation Day, I never knew it would change my life. This simple chorus was my way of thanking the people we so often forget, but who are so very, very important to the kingdom of God. And what's interesting is the song isn't about pastors. It's about just people, everyday people, who were willing to give something to the Lord so that someone else could come to Christ. You know the words, but just let me review the first verse with you. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold. I'm getting old, so these words are really small, and I'm really... I know what it is now to do this thing, you know? Okay? That's enough of that laughter over there. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard these angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. That song is just an opportunity for us to eavesdrop on the conversation that might go on in heaven someday. And part of our hearts, as you listen to that song, what touches us, not so much that it happens, but part of what touches our hearts is that you and I believe, because we are children of the King also, long to be that person who by God's grace is instrumental in seeing one more person make it into the kingdom of God. And so my question for you again this morning is, why not be the one to literally pray someone into the kingdom of heaven? Because when it comes right down to it, will it really matter how many times you came to church if your friend, your neighbor, your relative, your coworker doesn't get to heaven? Will it matter how many Bible studies you participated in? Will it matter how much of a percentage you gave of your income to the local church or Christian ministries? Will it matter how many hours you spend in church-related meetings if your friend, your loved one, your coworker doesn't get into heaven? Will it matter how many Christian CDs you bought? Will it matter how many Christian radio or TV shows you watched or listened to? How many concerts or Christian seminars you attended if your friend, your neighbor, your relative, your coworker doesn't get to heaven? If you decide that you want to be that person today who prays someone else into heaven, in the next few moments, I want to show you three things that you need to do so that you can be that person. You need to know the biblical precedent guiding us to pray for the salvation of another, the biblical purpose that motivates us to pray for the salvation of another, and finally, the biblical or just a basic pattern that prepares us to pray for another. And that pattern is simply using Scripture to urge our own hearts and to inform our own hearts on our daily prayer for unsaved friends. Number one, you need to know the biblical precedent guiding us to pray for the salvation of another. You and I shared together in the praying out loud of what is known as the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And in that pattern for prayer in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 10, he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus clearly spells out this precedent that can guide you and I in our daily prayers for someone else. As evangelical Christians, we acknowledge that God's kingdom coming to earth and his will being done, accomplished on earth, begins when one sinner repents, when one sinner turns their heart and life over to Jesus. Listen to Paul's instruction again on worship from 1 Timothy 2. He says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We are instructed here to pray for the environment where others can be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26, this narrative which tells us about his life, he is before a pagan judge, a pagan king, King Agrippa. And in that interaction, he is on trial, literally on trial for his faith. And he's giving his testimony. He's giving the background of who he is and why he does what he does. And in this prayer, Paul prayed for all the unconverted who were listening to his message. And he prayed specifically that they would be saved. Listen, chapter 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray God that not only you but all who are listening to me today may become what I am except for these chains." 2 Peter 3, we read that the salvation of the lost is God's will. It's very clearly spelled out in verse 9 where it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And finally, Jesus' example himself, in his own prayer, it was read as our call to worship this morning from John 17, and I'm going to just pull out 20 and 21 and 24, those verses of John 17. In that prayer, we can see Jesus' awesome example as he prayed generationally for you. Sitting here this morning on November 19th, 2006, in this sanctuary, we read in John 17 that Jesus was generationally praying for you and for me, and for those that you would impact by sharing your faith in Christ. And listen, always, always, always looking forward beyond the present to the future fulfillment where more and more people would come into relationship with God through faith in Jesus. Here's his prayer. "My prayer is not for them alone." Now he's speaking to the Father. He's looking at his disciples, the 12 or so that were with him at that point. But he's saying this, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Father," this is verse 24, "I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." Jesus himself sets the example and this biblical precedent that will guide us to pray for the salvation of another person in our lives. So number two is this, the biblical purpose which motivates us to pray for the salvation of another. 1 Peter 4:7 puts it this way, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled." Why? So that you can pray. He says, due to the end of time being imminent, be clear to pray. He's calling us to pray in general, but specifically, we can make a direct application to the prayers that we would pray for the salvation of the lost around us. It means that you and I, this scripture means that you and I have been destined to live at this particular time and moment in history. And that part of our purpose, part of your purpose, and part of my purpose being alive at this time in history is that we be used by God to lead someone else to Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. Does anybody else believe that? 2 Thessalonians 3 instructs us to pray for the spread and honoring of God's word, which leads to and includes the salvation of the lost. Listen to God's word. "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. In other words, God is saying, do not sit and soak the blessings of your newfound life in Christ. Do not hoard the spiritual blessings of knowing eternal life in Christ just for yourself. He says, therefore, to pray that it may continue to spread and impact many, many others. Colossians 4 spells out what's involved with this devotion to a prayer life. In particular, in chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, it says that devotion to prayer and effective witnessing of our faith are connected. Those two things are connected. Devoted prayer and being effective in our sharing of faith with others, they're connected. Listen, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And listen now to this very personal, scriptural example of what it means to be devoted to prayer. Paul says in the beginning of the chapter, be devoted to prayer, and then he brings us a very clear personal illustration through the man named Epaphras. It's towards the end of that chapter, verses 12 and 13. We read about a man called Epaphras who showed his devotion to prayer not just for salvation of the lost, but even beyond salvation for the lost. Listen to the verse. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Here's a man who is, as Paul terms it, wrestling in prayer that others might come to know Christ, that Christ might be birthed in others, and not only birthed once and then let it go, but to grow inside the lives of another. And just in case you need a little more assurance that God is tuned in to your very heart and to your prayers for others, here are some scriptural assurances of God's attention to your prayers, all part of that biblical purpose that motivates us to pray for the salvation of the lost. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. James 5:16, the second half, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And Jesus' own words in Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And if Jesus can apply that to a fig tree that didn't bear fruit and he asked it to wither and it withered, and if he can apply that to a mountain that needs to be cast into the sea, he most certainly can apply that to the mountain that might be before you as you consider praying for a loved one or a friend to come to Jesus Christ. Amen? And you can clearly hear from each of those promises that I just gave you and all the other passages of Scripture that led up to this point in this message that God takes your prayers very seriously. He takes your heart lifted before him in communication and requesting the salvation of another person. He takes it seriously. Even if no one else in the world seems to be listening to you, God is listening. I want you to take a look with me at what is so often the case in our lives of people not listening to us.
For English, say yes.
Yes.
For security purposes, this phone call will be recorded. To continue, please say yes.
Yes.
Please state your password.
I ain't no hollaback girl.
Please repeat.
I ain't no hollaback girl.
Please repeat.
No. No. I don't know. Yes. No.
I think you said magically delicious. Was I correct?
No.
Where to?
I'm going to shoo in resident.
I think you said, I'm going to shoot the president. Please hold while your call is traced and the proper authorities are notified.
Sometimes you just want to get straight through. That's why there's prayer. Prayer. Live richly.
Sometimes you want to just get straight through. Do you agree with me? That's what happens when we pray. We get straight through. I mean, considering all the scriptural instruction about prayer that, you know, if we regard sin in our heart, he will not hear us. Okay, but when you come before God to pray on behalf of someone else, you get through. Amen? And that leads to my third point of this morning. God has given us a basic pattern that prepares us to pray for the salvation of another person. How do we get through? How do we get through to God? How do we pray effectively, especially for the salvation of someone that we love or care about, a friend or a coworker? Please don't misunderstand this next segment. This is not a formula, okay? This is not something that, well, if you follow A, B, and C, God now will hear me, and therefore he will answer my prayer. That's not what this is about, because I believe that the simple prayer like, oh, God, help me, is good enough for God. He's listening. But it's something happens when we take God's word at his word and reflect that word back to him regarding a promise or something that he's asked us to do. And so what I'm asking you to do as you consider praying for someone who is not yet in the kingdom is to use scripture to inform your daily prayer for that unsaved friend. And what I want to do for you, all I'm going to do is I'm going to take what we started with this morning, the scriptures from Matthew, from 1 Timothy, and all the scriptures that led up to this point in this message, all I'm going to do is I'm going to take that and I'm going to form it into a prayer, and I'm going to pray that prayer for a friend of mine. And what I'm saying is this is the model that God gives us to use so that we too can pray for that friend. Just listen in your heart as I pray. Father in heaven, your name is holy. Your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is your will that my friend be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Lord, I believe that it would be good and pleasing to you for my friend to be saved. And whether it is today or 10 years from now, God, I pray that not only my friend, but all who might have a chance to hear me share may become what I am, except for my shortcomings, failures, and spiritual handicaps. Lord, you are not slow in keeping your promises, as some understand slowness. No, you are patient with all of us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, including my friend. My prayer is not for him alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Jesus after he comes to faith, that all of them might experience what it means to be in relationship with our Father, just as you are in me, Jesus, and I am in you. Father, I want those you have given to me in my life and in my circle of relationships and influence to be with me where I am for all eternity, and that's with you in heaven. And to see the glory of Jesus, the glory you have given to Jesus because you loved him before the creation of the world. I choose, Lord, to devote myself to prayer, being watchful and being thankful. And I pray that God, that Lord, you would open a door for the message of the gospel that I could share so that I could proclaim the mystery of being in Christ and that I could proclaim it clearly as I should. Lord, make me wise in the way I act toward outsiders, especially my friend who is still outside the family of faith. Lead me to make the most of every opportunity I have with him. Let my conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that I will know how to answer everyone, and especially answer my friend when the time to witness comes. Amen. Inside your bulletin this morning are actually two types of response cards. One is a more harder stock of cardboard type paper, and they're both yellow, I think. It's the Prayer Blitz response card. That particular card is for you to have and to keep to remind you of what you are going to commit to do this morning. There's another paper type sheet. It's a half sheet, and all that one includes is the name of a person that you will choose to pray for. What I'm asking for you to do is to on those cards, you're going to have to fill out both of them because one of them is going to be handed in this morning, all right? But I want you to fill out, I'm going to give you some time, even now. We're just going to pray and meditate a little bit and ask that God would put in your heart and mind the name or the thought of one person that you know doesn't know Christ yet and that you want to pray for that they're going to come to Christ. And you're going to commit to pray for that person every day. Now, last year, our prayer blitz kind of was geared to end, like around Christmas Eve, and I think that's artificial. I would just like to include that you pray for that person until they come to Christ, all right? It could be a short time, it could be a long time, we don't know. But that you're willing to commit to pray for that one person to come to Christ. Now, it was interesting in collecting the 8 o'clockers, I noticed just rifling through them real quick, many of them had family members, either a spouse, mom or dad, or child, a brother, sister, and then, of course, there were just various names. But I'm finding that many of us, especially at this time of year, as we draw close to family and friends, when we realize that, hey, I know that so-and-so in my family doesn't know Christ, they're on our heart. So that might be the person you put on your list. But I want you to fill that out, give you some time to do that right now. And I want to ask these questions of you as you do that. You go ahead and you start filling out those cards. These are questions for the larger church as you think about, will it matter if as a church we make budget this year, yet our friends and neighbors and relatives and coworkers don't get to heaven? Will that matter? Will it matter if we have some great plans for events in the coming year of 2007, yet our neighbors, friends, relatives don't get to heaven? Will it make a difference if you begin daily praying for an unsaved friend? Will it really make a difference if you begin to plan for interactions with them, to initiate a conversation over spiritual matters? Will it make a difference if our church family joins you in this effort and not only plans a service or an event designed to clearly present Christ to your friend in a safe environment, but prays along with you and encourages you to press on in your commitment to pray daily for that one person to come to know Jesus Christ? As we close this morning, what I'm going to ask you to do is the paper commitment card that all it has on there is the name of the person that you're going to pray for, that you prepare that. I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward. I'm just going to offer a brief word of prayer, and as they begin playing our closing hymn for the morning, I'm going to ask that if you're ready to do that, you bring them forward, you place them in the plates. The other dynamic is this. If you're not ready to do that this morning, and that's okay, we're going to kind of wrap this up on Thanksgiving Eve. So you have really until Thanksgiving Eve if you want to participate in this. And in honor of what the book of Revelation tells us about the prayers of God's people being as incense that rises before the throne of God, what I'd like to do, weather permitting, on Thanksgiving Eve is take each of these commitment papers that are handed in, and we're going to have a little bonfire, and we're going to throw them in the fire, not to symbolize that we don't want to hear them, but that they symbolize that smoke. As that smoke rises up to throne, it symbolizes that we are taking seriously the commitment to pray daily for someone that we know and love to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, very simply, you've saved us not just to be saved, but to pass along that fruit and that blessing to others. And so, Lord, as is often the case as we move along in our walk with you in our Christian life, sometimes we allow other things and other good things to come in, and we often either set aside or even push aside the most important. And Lord, as we can understand from your word, the most important activity that any of us could be involved with as a believer in Jesus is praying someone else into the kingdom of God. And I pray, Lord God, as many have already begun to fill out their prayer blitz cards, and I'm sure some will continue to do so, Lord, that you would help each person take that commitment before your throne, make it real, and that they would continue to pray daily, using your word, using their own desires for that person, and using and reflecting your will back to you, that you desire all to be saved and none to perish. Lord, that you would bless our people as we commit this to you. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the musicians to begin playing through that final hymn. And once we see that everybody pretty much has begun to finish up handing in those sheets of paper, we will probably stand to sing maybe the last verse of that hymn. So go ahead. You can begin. And you can begin bringing those sheets of paper forward and placing them in the offering plates right here to the right and to the left, right by the piano, by the altar. I also want to encourage you, if you're led and would really like to, you can kneel at the prayer rail and offer a word of prayer just to seal that in your heart today, that you're going to take seriously this call to pray.
To sing verse 1 and verse 4, 436. Stand with me, please, and we'll sing our closing hymn.